RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi considers Palestine as the heart of Indonesia's foreign policy. Peru can be an Indonesia's strategic partner in the maritime infrastructure development. The World Bank president to visit Jakarta discuss policy reforms. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi assured that Indonesia remains communicating with all parties related to escalating situation in Palestine after attending cabinet plenary meeting on Monday in the Presidential Palace Jakarta. The minister said that all communication made with related countries was aimed at stressing the importance of restoration of rights of worship for people in Palestine. According to her, the restriction on the right of the Palestinian Muslim to worship at the Al-Aqsa Mosque is currently the priority of Indonesia's in its settlement. Minister Retno further said that Palestine's issue has become the heart of Indonesian foreign policy, in which Indonesia is concerned with its freedom and the eradication of colonization. She stated that Indonesia will always be one of leading countries to support Palestine peace and independence. We communicate almost every day with many countries related to the same concern we have. Now we must move to the technical measures, namely regarding the restoration of rights of worship. The restriction of rights of worship for Muslims in Al-Aqsa is one of our concerns. Palestine's issue become the heart of our foreign policy due to our constitutional mandate. Palestine is in our foreign policy breath. We are among leading countries to address this issue and to fight for Palestine. Furthermore, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi explained that she has communicated with the Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC leader to immediately hold special session among foreign ministers of OIC member countries. The special session is aimed at discussing situation in Palestine. She said that Indonesia has registered discussion draft for the meeting. Indonesia, according to Minister Retno, will also encourage the importance of international protection towards vulnerable countries, as what had been discussed in OIC special meeting in Jakarta in 2015. She said that the protection is needed to avoid further situation to happen in the future. Peru can be an Indonesia strategic partner in achieving its goal of becoming a world maritime hub. This was conveyed by Peru's ambassador to Indonesia, Julio Arturo Cardenas Velarde, to RRI World Service in his office on Monday, 24 July. Gardenas Velarde explained Peru can provide technical assistance and experience in port development and marine industry services to Indonesia.
Indonesia está interesada en convertirse en un eje marítimo de clase mundial. Con esa mira,
Indonesia is interested to world-class maritime hubs. With this desire, Indonesia has made plans to improve its port. In this goal, Peru can be a strategic partner to undertake joint projects related to the engineering and development of port infrastructure and share experiences in marine industry services. Cardenas Velarde explained a Peruvian state-owned company engaged in the field of port development has had 70 years' experience in working on ports and infrastructure projects in Latin America, so he believes that Indonesia can hold Peru in working on port projects and marine industry services. Cardenas Velarde added that relationship with Indonesia has many important opportunities to be improved in the economic sector. He said the two countries still increase trade volume, especially the trade volume for fresh food products such as fruits, vegetables, and frozen seafood. World Bank President Jim Yong Kim arrives in Jakarta on Tuesday, July 25th, in his two-day visit. Kim is scheduled to meet President Joko Widodo, Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, and a number of other ministers discuss policy reforms in a bid to boost revenue and spend it more efficiently. Kim said in a statement received on Monday, July 24th, that he strongly supports the government effort to continue reforms that will benefit all Indonesians, including finding ways to better collect and spend revenue to finance development. Kim is also scheduled to participate in the Infrastructure Finance Forum to meet with stakeholders in public and private sectors. The forum is aimed at mobilizing infrastructure financing. Kim said Indonesia's infrastructure gap is both an urgent challenge and an enormous opportunity. Effective infrastructure investment is vital to accelerating inclusive and sustainable economic growth and will help unlock the country's massive potential. The Infrastructure Finance Forum will be held on July 25th and is part of the Voyage to Indonesia's events ahead of the 2018 World Bank Group International Monetary Fund annual meetings, which will be held in October next year in Bali. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation to state ministers and institutions for working hard to place Indonesia at the top of the Gallup World Poll. According to the poll, President Joko Widodo administration is considered to be the most trustworthy government in the public eye. The Gallup World Poll is widely considered as a highly credible international survey agency. The president, during a plenary cabinet meeting on Monday, July 24th, said that he appreciates the work of ministries and institutions for their public services and effective responses to complaints to protect the people. Other countries with the most trustworthy government listed in the Gallup poll include Switzerland, India, Luxembourg, Norway, Canada, Russia, Turkey, New Zealand, and Ireland. President Joko Widodo views that the poll has an important meaning for the government. In addition to make government officials easily solve difficult tasks, the announcement of the poll result is a momentum for the government to make decisions related to difficult situations. However, President Jokowi considers that the communication between the people and government officials still need to be improved. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, inherited 2,700 500 trillion rupiah sovereign debt upon taking office in 2014. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said, Pramono said on Monday, July 24th in Jakarta that the government had to pay 250 trillion rupiah in interest at the time. During 3 years of the Jokowi administration, the amount of interest accrued to 750 trillion rupiah. The government currently has around 3,600 trillion rupiah debt. Pramono said that the growth of government debt has been relatively small, adding that the Jokowi administration will be focusing on tightening the state budget in the next couple of years. The president has told ministers to be focused and more efficient. The government will prioritize infrastructure projects and poverty eradication. State agencies are expected to help reduce the Gini coefficient. Pramono Anung believes that in 2018, if all factors remain constant, economic growth can reach 5.3% to 5.4% related to the sovereign debt inherited by Jokowi. The rupiah was trading weaker by 1 BPS to 13,309 rupiah per US dollar in Jakarta interbank market this morning. Samuel Sekuritas Ekonomis Rangga Cipta said in Jakarta today, Tuesday, July 25th, that the rupiah's gain against US dollar ended due to domestic issues. He said that the rumor of cabinet reshuffle and the impending release of GDP growth data in the second quarter of 2017 fueled slight uncertainty. Nevertheless, he went on the pressures on the rupiah were relatively limited as the US dollar remains under pressure at the global market following the Fed monetary policy that sends a rather dovish signal and after the IMF cuts its forecast for the U.S. gross domestic product growth. Meanwhile, Bina Arta Securitas analyst Reza Priyambada added that political uncertainty in the U.S. has fueled negative sentiments against U.S. dollar that would allow the rupiah to move upward. And the last item, Jakarta Governor Jarod Saiful Hidayat has called for the revocation of citizenship of civil servant linked to anti-Pancasila organization such as Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia, HTI. Jarod said on Monday, July 24th at the City Hall, Jakarta, that they suggest that the government revoke their citizenship altogether. Let them stay in Syria forever. Jarod said that civil servants who oppose the Pancasila ideology are not worthy of a place in government agencies. He said that anti-Pancasila civil servants should find another job or move to another country. Earlier, the Justice and Human Rights Ministry has disbanded the HTI based on the regulation in lieu of law or Perpu No. 2, 2017. Research, Technology and High Education Ministry has given lecturers and employees of state universities involved in HTI activities two options, to remain in HTI and quit the campus or resign from the HTI and retain their job. Aside from Jarod, Yogyakarta, Indonesia, Art Institute Rector Muhammad Agus Burhan has also supported the stance made by the High Education Ministry to ban lecturers from joining anti-Pancasila organizations such as the HTI. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi considered Palestine as the heart of Indonesia's foreign policy. Peru can be an Indonesia's strategic partner in the maritime infrastructure development. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure.
And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Listener commentary today titled Drugs Emergency. On Monday, July 24, 2017, Head of West Jabor Provincial National Anti-Narcotic Agency, BNN, Brigadier General Rusnadi said that in West Java, narcotic cases or abused continue to increase based on regional provincial police data from 2015 to 2017. The tendency continues to rise. And marijuana is still a type of narcotics widely used because it is easily obtained and produced in Indonesia. The rise of drug use and its circulation, which still cannot be truly eradicated, has become a common concern of Indonesian nation. Moreover, smuggling drugs into Indonesia illegally in various ways are increasingly rampant. To overcome this, information from the community is needed to inhibit the movement of drug dealers. This proves to be the start to prevent drug distribution to the hands of consumers. War on drugs will continue until it completely and truly disappears from Indonesia. Socialization on drugs by the government was primarily waged by schools. The government asks parents and teachers to open up and give full attention to the children. It is believed that it cannot prevent children from falling into various social diseases, including drug abuse. But the eradication and prevention of drug abuse are not as easy as turning the hand palmed. Various laws and regulations had been issued, but the mafias or the mastermind of drug trafficking seems to be more and more freely distributing drugs, even though the government has applied strict regulations. It seems that the government and the people of Indonesia have to work harder to eradicate drugs. War on drugs is still not completed. The state of drug emergency has not ended. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with July 25, 1950, where the dissolution of the Koninklijk Nederlands Indisch Leger, or the Royal Dutch East Indies Army in Indonesia during the Dutch colonial time. After the death of Simon Spoor on May 25, 1949, Dirk Berman van Vreden was appointed as the last commander of Koninklijk Nederlands Indisch Leger. With the establishment of the Republic of Indonesia and the Indonesian Armed Forces and the recognition of the sovereignty of the Republic of Indonesia by the Dutch, on December 27, 1949, the Koninklijk Nederlands Indisch Leger was dissolved on July 20, 1950. On July 25, 1950, Dirk Berman van Vreden handed over headquarters of Koninklijk Nederlands Indisch Leger to Colonel Aha Nasution as Army Chief of Staff of the Indonesian National Army. The submission of the Koninklijk Nederlands Indisch Leger headquarters marks the official dissolution of the Koninklijk Nederlands Indisch Leger. We're moving on to July 25, 1966, where the Ampera I Cabinet was formed. Based on the decree of the Provisional People's Consultative Assembly, number 13 of 1966, Ampera Cabinet was formed on July 25, 1966. This cabinet was announced directly by Lieutenant General Suharto as chairman of the Cabinet Presidium with the approval of President Sukarno. The formation of the Ampera Cabinet was an effort to realize the third demand of the people in Tritura, namely economic improvement. The main task of the Ampera Cabinet is to create political and economic stability. Its works programs include improving people's lives, especially in procuring food and clothing, conducting elections, exercising free and active foreign policy for national interest, and continuing the struggle of anti-imperialism and colonialism in all its forms and manifestations. Let's end today in history with July 25, 1993, where the Israeli troops launched another massive offensive against southern Lebanon. The attack launched from land, sea, and air aims to expand Israel's territory illegally. In this attack, 128 civilians were killed, 500 were injured, and more than 400,000 people became refugees. In addition, agricultural fields and economic infrastructure were severely damaged. Nevertheless, Lebanon's Hezbollah forces in 2000 managed to drive out Israeli troops from southern Lebanon. Listener, that was today in history over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Duka Kusumawati.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesian hosting the ASEM training. Indonesia hosting the Asia Europe meeting ASEM, which has taken place in Jakarta since 24-28 July 2017. The training headlines the issue of human rights and persons with disabilities. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Director of Human Rights and Humanitarian Affairs at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Diki Komar, in his speech at the event, said that ensuring inclusiveness for people with disabilities in all aspects of life is the task of not only the government but also all stakeholders. Diki Komar said that the training is one of the commitments of Indonesia's party to Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities, CRPD, and the Fund of Indonesian Active Contribution under the ASEM framework. The participants for 5 days received training on comprehensive human rights instruments, principles, and frameworks. Training is also aimed at improving skill and capacity for drafting and implementing policies for the disabled's rights. The participants will also see the practice and training in the field during a visit to Bina Daksa Vocational Rehabilitation Center in Cibinong, West Java. The ASEM training aims to facilitate the stakeholders of human rights and disability issues to exchange experience and improve capacity to build mechanisms for the improvement of the rights of persons with disabilities at the national, regional, and international levels. The ASEM training was attended by 36 participants and trainers from 22 countries in Asia and Europe. Furthermore, Dicky Komar explained that Indonesia as the host of Asian Human Rights Training reflects the appreciation and confidence of stakeholders in Asia and Europe for Indonesia's real commitment and efforts in promoting and fulfilling the rights of the national scope. As the host of a CRPD's Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, disability issues are part of Indonesia's national priorities. Dicky hopes that this activity will further enhance mutual understanding and cooperation between Asian Drupad and human rights issues, especially between government and non-government organizations. Human rights training and disability are organized on the partnership of Minister of Foreign Affairs, Asia Europe Foundation, ASEF, the Indonesian Association of Disabled Persons, and Yayasan Mahkota Indonesia. The meeting is also a follow-up of the 16th Asian Seminar on Human Rights, Persons with Disability and Human Rights in Beijing, China, last year. Listener, that was Focus. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian Foreign Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi assured that Indonesia remains communicating with all parties related to escalating situation in Palestine. Peru can be an Indonesia strategic partner in achieving its goal of becoming a world maritime hub. This was conveyed by Peru's ambassador to Indonesia, Julio Arturo Cardenas Velarde, to RRI World Service in his office on Monday, 24th of July. World Bank President Jim Yong Kim arrives in Jakarta on Tuesday, July 25th. In his two-day visit, Kim is scheduled to meet President Joko Widodo, Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, and a number of other ministers discuss policy reforms in a bid to boost revenue and spend it more efficiently. Indonesia President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation to state ministers and institution for working hard to place Indonesia at the top of the Gallup World Poll. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, inherited 2,700 trillion rupiah sovereign debt upon taking office in 2014. The rupiah was trading weaker by 1 bps to 13,309 rupiah per US dollar in Jakarta Interbank Market this morning. Samuel Sekuritas Ekonomi Serangga Cipta said in Jakarta today, Tuesday, July 25th, that the rupiah's gain against US dollar ended due to domestic issues. And the last item, Jakarta Governor Jarod Saiful Hidayat has called for the revocation of the citizenship of civil servant linked to anti-Pancasila organization such as Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia or HTI. Jarod said on Monday, July 24th at the City Hall, Jakarta, that they suggest that the government revoke their citizenship altogether. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite?
2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Semarang City Government is preparing the country tourism village in Gunung Pati area, Semarang, as an international tourism destination. Later, they will be prepared 200 homestays with 355 rooms in country tourism village. All supporting infrastructure will be prepared, such as road access to the location, availability of clean water, up to the art performance building. Actually, Country Village has long been designated as a tourism village because the area has a distinctive characteristic where the people still firmly hold tradition and ancestral culture until nowadays. In addition, the natural village is still so beautiful, so it's no wonder many tourists are interested in traveling to Country Tourism Village. Listener, Country Tourism Village is located in Gunung Pati Sub-District on the western tip of Semarang, the capital of Central Java. It is located on the plateau near Mount Ungaran, making the region its cool. If it is accessed by vehicle, traveling to Country Tourism Village from Semarang takes approximately 30 to 45 minutes. The village has a population of about 3,797 people, with the majority of livelihoods as farmers. In addition, in Country Village, there are also some handicrafts such as batik, embroidery, and eel cultivation. Traveling to Country Village, you can choose your own tourism activities. The village is divided into 4 Rukun Warga or RW or Community Unit and 26 Rukun Tetangga RT or Neighborhood Unit. Of the 4 RWs have their own characteristics. For example, in RW 1, you can follow agricultural education, including planting and caring for rice, cassava, and papaya. In the harvest season, you can also participate in harvesting. In RW2, you can do outbound activities. while Airway 3 is the center of dances and tourism object of Goa Creole. In Airway 4, you can enjoy various types of culinary made of agriculture products, especially processed cassava, so you can see and follow the practice of making getuk and tiwul. During your traveling to country village, you can see and join the process of planting, carrying, and harvesting. In addition to conduct various tourism activities with local residents, you can also visit the existing attractions in the country village, such as Goa Creole and Jati Barang Reservoir. Goa Creole is a tourism object that closely related to the historical story of the Demak Mosque building by Sunan Kalijaga. While Jati Barang Reservoir is an artificial reservoir that was deliberately formed to increase the tourism potential of the village. Regarding the tourism activity in country village, it's not enough time to do in one day. You can stay in country tourism village by homestaying in the residents' houses. Well, listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Country Tourism Village in Semarang, Central Java. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabularies and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, and the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Kamu sudah sampai di mana? In English, where are you now? First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice and you can repeat after me. Sampai. Sampai. In English, arrived. Di mana. Di mana. In English, where. Di jalan. Di jalan. In English, on the way. Ingat. Ingat. In English, remember. Hari ini. Hari ini. In English, today. Bertemu. Bertemu. In English, to meet. Di mall. Di mall. In English, at the mall. Jam lima sore. Jam lima sore. In English, 5 p.m. Tentu saja. Tentu saja. In English, of course. Setengah jam. Setengah jam. In English, half an hour. Menunggu. Menunggu. In English, to wait. Sebetulnya. Sebetulnya. In English, actually. Tepat waktu. Tepat waktu. In English, on time. Di depan. Di depan. In English, in front of. Kecelakaan. Kecelakaan. In English, accident. Jalan tol. Jalan tol. In English, toll road. Macet. Macet. In English, traffic jam. 15 menit. 15 menit. In English, 15 minutes. Hati-hati. Hati-hati. In English, careful. Mengemudi. Mengemudi. In English, to drive. Next is a conversation on Kamu sudah sampai di mana? Or in English, where are you now? As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can repeat after me. The conversation is between Ani A and Hari B on the phone. A. Halo, Hari, kamu sekarang ada di mana? Halo, Hari, kamu sekarang ada di mana? In English, hello Harry, where are you now? B. Maaf, saya masih di jalan. Maaf, saya masih di jalan. In English, sorry, I'm still on the way. A. Kamu ingat kan, hari ini kita akan bertemu di mall jam 5 sore. Kamu ingat kan? Hari ini kita akan bertemu di mall jam 5 sore. In English, you remember, don't you? Today we'll meet at the mall at 5 p.m. B. Tentu saja saya ingat. Tentu saja saya ingat. In English, of course I remember. A. Sekarang sudah jam 5. Saya sudah setengah jam menunggu kamu. Sekarang sudah jam 5. Saya sudah setengah jam menunggu kamu. In English, now it's already 5 p.m. I've been waiting for you for half an hour. B. Sebetulnya saya bisa sampai tepat waktu. Tetapi di depan sepertinya ada kecelakaan. Sebetulnya saya bisa sampai tepat waktu. Tetapi, di depan, sepertinya ada kecelakaan. In English, actually, I could have arrived on time, but it seems there is an accident ahead. Jadi, jalan tol macet sekali. Mungkin 15 menit lagi baru sampai. Jadi, jalan tol macet sekali. Mungkin 15 menit lagi baru sampai. In English, so the dirt road is badly jammed. Maybe I'll arrive in 15 minutes. A. Oh, baiklah. Hati-hati di jalan. Hati-hati mengemudi ya. Oh, baiklah. Hati-hati di jalan. Hati-hati mengemudi ya. In English, oh, okay. Be careful on the road. Drive safely. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in the segment of Music Corner. In today's edition, we present dangdut songs to you. Stay tuned. Listener, recently a dangdut singer, Iis Dahlia, just released an album entitled The Best of Iis Dahlia to celebrate 30 years of her career in dangdut music. The album, which was produced by Hadi Sunyoto, is a compilation of her best songs. In addition, the album is a proof that until now, Iis remained active in the music work and exists as a dangdut singer. She can sing classical dangdut, Malay, and Indian songs attractively. With full appreciation, Iis, who was born in Indramayu, West Java, succeed to perform mellow dangdut songs with her typical style. There are 12 songs and 2 bonus tracks packaged in the album. The 12 songs consist of several recycled songs and a number of new songs that increasingly show the maturity of Iis Dahlia's vocal. The Best of Iis Dahlia album contains lovable singles of Iis Dahlia with a variety of music genres. One of the songs, entitled Jomblo Senior, was released in 2014. The song was composed by a top musician, Meli Guslau. It tells about someone who has long been single and hoped to find her partner. Before we talk more about Iis Dahlia, let's listen to the next song entitled Cinta Apalah Apalah. Enjoy the song.
Cinta kita apalah, rindu kita juga apalah, semua rasa ini apalah, hubungan tak jelas ya sudahlah, biarlah. Aku bagi
sungguh rumit
listener, now the song Apalah Apalah becomes a popular jargon among Indonesian society. It is Dahlia Gordon's inspiration to make the song about her jargon of making the single entitled Cinta Apalah Apalah. It is eroded in 2 hours. The song tells about no clarity of love. Like her jargon, the song, which was released in 2015, also popular in dangdut music world and well received by dangdut music lovers. Well, to conclude today's dangdut music corner, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Rindu and Payung Hitam. See you and sampai jumpa.
Aku sedang rindu pada siapa ku mengadu, karena hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkalangan. Ke ujung dunia akan ku cari. Hatiku merindu padamu, pada siapa
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Kasih, apa kabar?
Baik.
Setelah ku pikir-pikir, aku tetap memilih dia karena dia lebih lembut.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.